Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve, and Jesus hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. If you're a new listener, we pray the Lord blesses you, and we're heard on this station every day, Monday through Friday, at the same time. We have been talking about a subject, redeeming the time, and I have shared there are two references, actual places in the Word of God where that phrase is used, redeeming the time. And we've looked at the first one found in Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, in this time that we have, this dispensation, the days of our appointed life here on this earth, we're to make the most of every opportunity, to make the best use of our time, despite all the things that we might be, the hindrances, the problems that we face. Nonetheless, we know that God will give us victory. He'll see us through every trial, and our attitude, our heart's desire to bring glory to Jesus, to serve our Father, this is what is paramount. And so we have to understand, in order to be really effective and successful, we have to realize, you know, when we're young people, we think we're going to live forever. Well, that is true. Mankind, the spirit of man, will live forever. We get to choose where we spend that eternity. And those who have refused and will have nothing to do with the Lord, who have walked away from God, who are not willing to make Him Lord of their lives, well, if you don't make Jesus the Lord of your lives, then there's only one other prospect, one other possibility, and even though their minds are darkened and deceived, the devil is their master. And because one refuses the salvation that is offered through Jesus, then you will spend your life with the devil. And the horrors of that place is, if you've ever read any accounts of those whom God has allowed to go there to bring back the warning, then that's a place you don't ever want to visit. And so, beloved, it is important that we do know what the will of the Lord is. We have to understand the times in which we are living, and that we have no guarantee of tomorrow. Personally, we don't know the appointed times that God has given to us. It has nothing to do with age. Sometimes young people are taken very quickly and suddenly, very unexpectedly. So we cannot think, if you happen to be a young person, as we tend to do, I remember when I was young, that your whole life stretched out before you and you had all the time in the world. Not necessarily. That's why Paul says in Ephesians, don't be as fools, but be wise, redeeming the time. Now, let's go on. As we look at the end of the book in Revelation, it speaks of a various scenario that the Lord has already pre-planned when it's how it's going to happen, and we are only getting bits and pieces of understanding at this point. So when the seventh angel sounds his trumpet in Revelation 11:15, the Word of God says, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God. What a glorious time that will be. The rule, the dominion of this world has passed into the possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me take a slight diversion or detour and go to Matthew, the fourth chapter, and I'm going to read verses 8 through 10. And this is a period in time when Jesus was, after his baptism, he was driven by the Spirit, the word says, into the wilderness where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. The devil came to test him for a time. He did come back, of course, many times later in his life. But let me read the third temptation. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee. And, of course, he did have the rightful possession. Jesus had not suffered and died, and he took the keys of death and hell from Satan. Satan did rightfully own those because of Adam and Eve's transgression. But what did Jesus say? He said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. There we go. That's our modus operandi as Christians. We serve and the Lord only and worship him. And so, well, why did I share that? Well, that third temptation in the wilderness that Jesus experienced, he was offered all the kingdoms of this world, but he refused to take them before the Father's time. There's a time coming when, as I shared in Revelation 11:15, the kingdoms of this world are now become the kingdoms of our God, and Jesus will rule and reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. That's referred to as the millennium period. And then after that, there's a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So time belongs to the devil when you think of it, because time will be no more. And eternity belongs to God. Death will be the last enemy to be put underfoot. And, you know, I know there's all sorts of things going on in science now. Transhumanism, they're trying basically to replace the human race. Why? Because they haven't figured out how to defeat death. But if they make us, you know, preserve the consciousness and mind of man and make us robots, well, I know that sounds, listen, that kind of information's out there if you choose to pursue it. Nonetheless, we are eternal beings, and mankind's pursuit of life, eternity, you know, never dying, will only be, they're working on a false premise, because they will live forever. They just get to choose where, praise God. And so, in Revelation, the 10th chapter, oh, now let me read that. That's very important. I'm going to read verses 5 through 7. And the angel which I, that's John, saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, lifted up his hands to heaven. And what is that? That's a sign of swearing. That's what they do, you know, laying their hands on their belt. Do you swear to tell the truth, the only truth, you know? Anyway, so he swears by him, whoa, the throne of God that liveth forever and ever, the Father who created heaven and all things that are therein and on the earth and the things that are and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Praise God. So time, at that point, as we know it, will cease to be. And so, beloved, that's the importance of understanding that phrase, redeeming the time. There's a twofold challenge that is before us today as we share this scripture, is that we need to get our priorities, our personal lives, our house, if you will, in divine order, to put first things first, to serve, to worship God, and to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things will fall into place. They will be added to you. And then, of course, what is the Great Commission? Get your own life in priorities, seek God, what is his plan, and then begin to share the gospel. Begin evangelism, if you will, in whatever form, however, whatever capacity the Lord would have you share. And sometimes, you know, it doesn't mean standing out a street, handing out tracts. Someone said, it's a brilliant statement, preach the gospel, and if you have to, use words. In other words, our very lifestyles, wherever we go, people are watching you, beloved, neighbors, friends, family, those that don't know the Lord, those that do know the Lord. We are an open book that is read, and those who have eyes to see and those who discern will understand even more intimately what is operating us, what are our attitudes, what are our motives. All right, we've looked at one passage of Scripture. Now the second Scripture, the second only Scripture that talks about that, uses that phrase, redeeming the time, is finding Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. In other words, who does that mean? Not in the faith, non-Christians, the outside world, redeeming the time. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. What does that mean? To seize your opportunities, use time to the best possible advantage, make the most of every opportunity the Lord would present to you to tell others the good news. Share your testimonies. There's nothing as important as that. And to be able to, because no one has your testimony, and you're speaking now out of personal experience. Yes, it's good to share information, it's good to teach, to bring understanding, but no one can invalidate your personal testimony because you were there and you lived it. There's power in sharing, and that's maybe not as intimidating. You may feel you don't know Scripture that well. Well, as you study to show yourself approved, God will help you remember Scriptures, and you don't have to quote it exactly, but the sense is what's important. So, there we are. We have this commandment to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. That's our testimony, beloved. Not just when we got saved or how we got saved, but our Christian life of ever-increasing sanctification and godliness. Praise God. Well, my time has again just flown by, and with the Lord's help, we will conclude this message. I didn't think we'd take as long as we did, but we have, and I pray that you have been blessed. And if you feel the stirring of the Holy Spirit, if you would like to connect and be part of UCM Spiritual Family, I send a monthly letter of encouragement, and no, I don't beg for finances. I learned a long time ago, I trust the Lord, and He's been faithful all these years. He's been faithful since 1965. Praise God. Thank you for joining me, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,